I want to suggest that contrary to popular wisdom, the ministry of temptations is valuable. The ministry of temptations. We are surrounded both with outright solicitations of our weakest natures, as well as reminders that we can resist temptations if we simply try hard enough. But I think we might be missing the point altogether. Temptations serve a purpose. We are not tempted by things that don't matter to us. Below each and every genuine temptation is a desire that is unexplored, a need that is often unmet, a part of our soul that is left wanting. I am very curious as to whether we are aware of the purposes that temptations serve and the stories they tell. From a young age, we share stories and movies with children that teach them that if they are powerful enough to overcome the challenge, that they are powerful enough to overcome the challenges they encounter. But the best of these tales actually teaches that in moving through that which is challenging, one can be transformed. In my lifetime, the magic of the Harry Potter series has been powerful. Over and over again, Harry is tempted to use his power for evil. He is assaulted by he who must not be named in an attempt to corral his powers for the dark side. In one epic, heart-stopping battle after another, Harry learns more about himself and the love of his parents. He relies on the friends who come to care for him deeply. As time passes, he is less tempted by the allure of greatness or power, and becomes more deeply rooted in the power of love. The temptations Harry encounters forms him into the hero whom we all love. But without the journey of his struggles, we likely would not have been captivated by Harry's story. A good guy who is just infinitely good is not interesting. A good guy who has wrestled with evil and goodness speaks to our own experiences in a powerful way. The ministry of temptations, as counterintuitive as it may sound, deserves our attention. For Jesus, these temptations take place in the wilderness. While literal in the biblical context, the idea of venturing into the wilderness is mostly symbolic for us. So you might think of the wilderness in terms of an arena, a stage, the context in which our temptations allow us to learn more about who we are. The time we spend in these arenas willingly confronting these temptations allows us to develop spiritual resources. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, a length of time which echoes the 40 years the Israelites spent wandering the wilderness. For the Israelites, it's clear that the awareness of their dependence on God took significant time to mature. Early on in their journey, they're ready to abandon the mission and turn back to slavery rather than endure prolonged discomfort. Slowly, ever so gradually, the Israelites changed their relationship with God. If they had simply been plopped down in the land of milk and honey, they would not have appreciated the richness that surrounds them. It's really important to note that even Jesus was well served by his time in the wilderness. Chances are, this means we will also be well served by time set apart. Metaphorically speaking, we are traveling into the wilderness together throughout this season of Lent. But let's be clear about what's happening in our wilderness wanderings. Oftentimes, Lent is treated as a test of one's fortitude or will. But notice Jesus' behavior during his time in the wilderness. Jesus does not boast of the strength of his spirit. He does not cave to the devil's reminders of the pleasure to be found in comfort or a fresh baked loaf of bread. One does not live by bread alone. Rather, he cedes his individuality and the fortitude he might use to sustain himself. Jesus demonstrates his holistic reliance on God. Jesus rebukes the devil. God is my true sustenance. The devil goes on to tempt Jesus with two of the other most popular creaturely comforts, glory and security. In the face of possible glory that comes with power and influence, Jesus counters with the law of God, which trains his spirit towards affection for God. In the space of security, Jesus responds with trust. Security is, after all, an illusion, and Jesus is clear about the source of trust upon whom he relies. Here's the thing. The devil is testing Jesus in a really important way. He's cut to the heart of the human spirit and is poking at some of our weakest spots. It's as if the devil is testing Jesus' baptism and questioning whether he believes that God is truly with him. Isn't this always the question? Do we believe? Truly believe in the face of all that we encounter that God is truly with us. One of the important things to remember about Jesus' time in the wilderness is that it was the Holy Spirit who led him there. I do not mean that God or the Holy Spirit has any tendencies towards torture, which is often how we might conceive of our time in the wilderness. Quite the opposite. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a time of clarity and connection with God. It was the devil who did the tempting. If we believe, truly believe that God is always with us, we're going to need reminders along this journey. We are surrounded by evidence to the contrary every day. The discipline of taking time apart to acknowledge our dependence on God matters. It is deeply humbling to believe that our sustenance, our trust, and attention to God all matter. But they do. My most recent time in the wilderness led me to you, St. Michael's. It looked nothing like the desert in the Middle East, but it was a lot more lonely than was comfortable, and the journey lasted longer than I anticipated. But I wouldn't trade that clarity about where I was called away from and what I was called towards for anything. My wilderness wanderings have never been comfortable. Maybe you can relate. But they have always served me. During this season of Lent, be curious about how your time in the wilderness might serve you. Be open to the stories that your temptations tell. Be clear that dependence on God is perhaps our greatest strength. Amen.